J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
A special weekend for Bob Uecker. How many years in the booth now?
Actually, 30 here in Milwaukee. I spent a couple in Atlanta following my days as a... I don't know if they call me a player there or not, but whatever I was there. I did work a couple of years with Milo Hamilton and Ernie Johnson before coming here to Milwaukee in 1971. So, yeah, it's been a while.
You know, now when you travel to St. Louis, how does the town seem different from your days playing back in St. Louis? I guess you were still around for the tail end of Gaslight Square and the Playboy Club and the Chase Park Plaza?
Yeah, all that stuff was there. Matter of fact, I thought Gaslight Square was a bunch of filling stations. The ballpark, of course, has changed dramatically from Old Busch Stadium, but the city of St. Louis is one of my favorite places. I don't know if there's a better baseball town in all of the country than St. Louis, and the fans and everything that that happens there is big league. I mean, the Arch. I've taken a ride in the Arch a couple of times. One of these times I want to go inside and ride it. I do it from outside where it's a little tougher and a little scarier, but it's hot. That metal gets hot. You can't put your hands on it. You got to wear gloves when you climb that thing. And but it's a kick. It's a lot of fun. It takes a day and a half to do it, but it's a lot of fun.
I'm assuming you have mixed emotions about the passing of this ballpark. And we heard stories. We were taking a tour yesterday. They told us they've seen skunks underneath the place.
Well, those were put here. We work here with the zoo, and one of our sponsors, as a matter of fact, every time somebody throws a wild pitch, they contribute $250 to the zoo. They furnish meat to the zoo to the animals. I don't know what kind of meat camels eat, but that's what one of our sponsors does. But, yeah, we have all kinds of animals. As a matter of fact, the Discovery Channel comes in here and films once a month to find out what's underneath here. And we've seen a lot of stuff under here that's still unidentified. But I'm not sorry to get out of here. I mean, this has been a great old ballpark, but I can't wait to get to Miller Park. This place has... Is seen its best days, I can guarantee you that.
Did you ask for anything special in the broadcast booth? They can customize, you know, the place for you.
Well, we have a very nice booth over there, and it's unfortunately not facing the field. It actually faces this ballpark, and which is going to make calling a game kind of tough. But having been, into these adverse situations before, I think I can, I'll come through with something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bob, with over 100 appearances on The Tonight Show, does one stick out in your mind?
You know, not really. I had such a good time on The Tonight Show going all the way back to New York when I first started doing the shows in 1969. The one thing about The Tonight Show, the staff, Johnny Carson was probably... as good a straight man, maybe the best in the business. He wanted to make you good. I mean, if you were, so to speak, one of the guys. I mean, I did the show maybe three or four times a month sometimes, and he liked to have a good time. He didn't know a lot about baseball, but as it got on, we had a lot of fun, and most of the time, the majority of the time, it was unscripted. I mean, he... as a matter of fact, one time, I think we were still in New York, or the show was in New York, and I was doing a show up there, and he asked me if I needed these questions and answers that they, questions that he had, do you need these? And I said, I don't need that stuff. I said, he said, well, I don't either. And from then on, it was pretty much ad lib. And the staff, everybody on that show, you know, Ed McMahon, who I still see from time to time, Doc Severinsen comes into Milwaukee and conducts the Milwaukee Symphony. You know, I still see those people. I don't see Johnny. I haven't seen Johnny in quite a while, but I had some of the best times of my life on that show.
You know, when I work with my partner, Karen, here, I see her every day, but when we travel together, that's when I think you really find out the truth about somebody. Now, you worked with our pal Bob Costas on the road for many years. Tell me something about Bob that the average person, even people like us, wouldn't know from not having traveled with him.
Well, the one thing about Costas is that once he gets... I can't tell you that. The other thing is, when we're on the road and we're in our room, maybe I better not tell you that either. One time we were in a car. We were in the back seat of a car. We were going from Nah, yeah. I better not. Yeah, nah. No, that's no. I don't think anything I know about him. Everything I know about him, I can't tell you. Sorry.
Now, I know you had your own clothing line in the mid '80s. Are you wearing anything from that line tonight?
No, I'm not. What I am wearing from that line, I can't show you. It's kind of in shreds now, but you know, when you have something like that, you get a clothing line, you hate to give it up, and you don't, you know, the stuff, you try to keep it as long as you possibly can. So most of the undergarments have been hand washed, and you get them out in the wind to dry a little bit. They get a little shredded sometimes, but the elastic's still good in them.
You know, you're in great shape, Bob. I hope you don't take this the wrong way. We were watching you from behind. I hope my ass is as small and as tight as yours is when I'm your age.
I have a valve back here that I can let out or blow up, and you're welcome to blow it up if you want anytime. Just, you know, jump on, man.
Bob Uecker, it's great to see you. Congratulations on 44 years in baseball, 30 in the booth. Great to talk to you.
Thank you, guys. I'll see you later on.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Wednesday, November 3rd, 2022, 5 days until the beginning of the end. How you doing, kids? You're at jcontheline.com. You know, that Bob Uecker interview just cracks me up. He's so naturally funny, and he's just full of the devil. As you're asking him a question, you can just see the look on his face. You can see his eye in his eyes that he's flipping that Rolodex in his brain. Like, what am I going to say that's funny that's next? But great guy. And I think I told you that one of the last times I was in the Busch Stadium press box, they have a thing down under the seats in the bowels of Busch Stadium, down on the, I guess you would call it the basement. It's, you know, basically under the field boxes is where it is. And the clubhouse is in there and the batting cages. And it's right across from one of those, I don't know if it's a private club. I know you have to pay money to get in there, and they have the really, really good food before the game. But anyhow, so down under there, and there is a cafeteria down there for the media. Now, there's food upstairs in the press box, too, usually by about the third inning, some hot dogs and nachos, and they give you popcorn and pretzels and the soft drinks, and then they have Ted Drews and stuff like that. That's upstairs in the press box. But downstairs, in the place that I was just talking about, they actually serve you a hot meal. It's, I believe, is it $7 or $9? It's either $7 or $9. And they cook a couple of, you know, chicken with some sauce or something on it, and you know, peppers and mashed potatoes and green beans. It's real food. You know, it's real food. It's not anything that's going to win any awards. But a lot of these writers and everything, I mean, they get there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they don't finish filing their stories until, you know, 11:30 or midnight. It's a long day. It's a long day. It's a tough way to make a living, because the other thing about it is you're gone for 81 dates. Well, that's not true, because on weekends, the games tend to be during the day. But still, it's a lot. And good to have some decent food. They give you a hot meal, and I can say a couple of bucks. And then after the food is gone, they sort of clear the whole thing out and rearrange everything, and then that becomes the press room after the game. It's where Ollie Marmol sits and explains why the Cardinals lost a few minutes ago. But I digress. Anyhow, it was, I guess it was 2019, I saw Bob Uecker, and I think I have told the story before. I used to live in Milwaukee, and I was dating a girl by the name of Dawn in one of the Milwaukee suburbs, and she lived almost directly across the street from Bob Uecker. You would on occasion see him shirtless in a pair of cutoff jeans outside mowing his lawn. Very modest home. And again, this was 1980. So here it is, 2019, and I see Uecker and I say, Bob, does the name Don Runge mean anything to you? And he just stopped dead in his tracks. And a couple of people who were listening, who, you know, were within earshot of this, he was with a small little contingent, and everybody just stopped and looked at me like, who's that? Why did you say that to him? And then he gets this sort of goofy grin on his face. He goes, girl across the street? I said, yeah, used to date her. He goes, tall blonde. And I said, yep, absolutely right. And he just gave me this little okay, this little okay sign. Oh, God. Guy just absolutely cracks me up. We had a no-hitter last night. And there are people yakking and screaming and everything down in Houston going, well, they pulled him after six innings. He had a no-hitter. He could have gone down in history like Don Larsen in 1956, I think it was. Game is different now. It doesn't matter. You know, can't compare the game in 1956 to the way the game is being played right now. Everything is just different. And with his dominant as the starting pitcher was last night for the Astros, you know what Dusty Baker is thinking. In the back of his head, the Houston manager is thinking, this guy is just dominating. He's dominating. And so Dusty is thinking, if this series goes seven games, in theory, I could bring this guy back as the starting pitcher at game seven with as dominant as he was last night. Let's not give him rag arm here. You know, I'll pull him at, I think it was at 90-some-odd pitches. And it's like, let's pull him out. Never know. We could bring him back for a game seven. But again, by the way, did you see that John Fetterman ran a national TV spot during the World Series last night? That must have been very, very expensive. But Fetterman is the bald-headed guy running against Dr. Oz in Pennsylvania. And that ad ran on the entire Fox network last night. That's not cheap. But anyhow, you had these guys discussing a rising fastball again last night. And let me just say it again. It is impossible for a human being to be standing on a 10-inch mound throwing in a downward fashion and having that pitch rise. It's not even Mythbusters did it. They brought in Roger Clemens and he tried all day to get, you know, because they set up all this equipment and everything, and they tried to see if they could prove that a fastball could rise under those conditions. And they're like, yeah, no, it can't. You'd need twice, the ball would have to be like twice as light. And there's some sort of mathematical equation involved that is way above my pay grade. But they, you know, they proved it just can't happen. You can't do it. It is funny, though, when you start talking about pitches and baseball and cameras and everything, because there are optical illusions. But it is funny because back in the 30s, I guess it was, there was some scientist that was trying to prove, trying to say, he's making the case that a curveball didn't really curve, that was an optical illusion. Now we have science available to us now that we didn't have in the 1930s. It's almost 100 years ago. But back then, yeah, some egghead scientists were trying to prove the curveball didn't really curve. And they asked Dizzy Dean about it. And Dizzy Dean gave one of the great quotes of all time. He said, you take that scientist, you put him behind a tree 60 feet, 6 inches away, and I'll womp him to death. I'll womp him to death. I was watching an interview back in the 70s with Dizzy Dean, and somebody said, you know, what's the hardest? He was a pitcher. It's the hardest anybody ever hit a ball off of you. And without batting an eye, just bing, incident, right away. He says, Jimmy Fox. I was pitching. Jimmy Fox hit a line drive, went through my leg, center fielder, caught it on a fly ball. Ba-dum-bum. And then you got Tim McGraw, who was in attendance last night, big Phillies fan. And his father, Tug McGraw, was a relief pitcher with the Phillies and also the Mets. But I think they really count Philly as his sort of home base. And Tug McGraw died years ago. But Tug McGraw, also one of the guys who, well, he had two very funny quotes. Once it was spring training and the Phillies, they weren't really expected to be a very good team in that year. It's probably somewhere back around 75, 76, something like that. And they asked him, they said, well, you know, what do you think the Phillies' chances are of going to the World Series? And he said in the interview, I think it's dependent upon a couple of key plane crashes. And then he said to him, what do you play better on, grass or AstroTurf? And he says, I don't know. I never smoked AstroTurf. So quite a legacy there for the country music star, Tim McGraw. Anyhow, game five tonight in Philadelphia. How bad is the crime in St. Louis County? Terrible. Terrible, right? You can get shot anywhere in the county. The crime is awful. Or is it? New stats out. Homicides down 15%. Assault with firearms, down 13%. Robberies, down 18%. These crime stats for the county are the lowest in 20 years. You wouldn't know that from listening to some of the campaign ads. By the way, with all the attention on the attack on Nancy Pelosi's husband, you know, it was interesting. You may recall a couple of years ago, they had that congressional softball game, and they're out there in the morning one day having practice in an open field, some park in Washington, D.C., and you might recall that Steve Scalise was shot, some crazed gunman or something like that. You know, Scalise was shot at a congressional softball game. Nobody created a secondary story that denied the reality of that happening. Nobody gloated about it. The president at the time, Barack Obama, didn't laugh. I guess it just depends on whose ox is getting gored. And then Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, a guy I love to punch in the throat. I wouldn't actually do it, but it's fun to fantasize. As the Democrats in the Senate were busy squeaking through a big bill on Sunday, they say is going to reduce inflation, fight climate change, and knock down drug prices, among other things. Senator Ron Johnson joined 42 other Republican senators to block an amendment to the bill that would cap the price of insulin at $35 per month. He's one of those guys, and it's the Republican mantra that if the drug companies aren't just allowed to make obscene amounts of money, that somehow that is going to impede the research arm of the drug companies, and then we won't have vaccines, and we won't have pills, and we won't have, and it's all crap. They're making money hand over fist. There's links popping up all over the place on social media. Like, I saw it on Facebook last night. It's an article that's in Vanity Fair right now, and they do good work. Vanity Fair does really, really good political stuff from time to time, and they go into the detailing of some people who were in the White House at the time that were involved in the transition process from Trump to Biden. Oh, my God, if you get your hands on this story, read about that shit show. And then there's Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk is one of these kids. He's got a toy radio show. He's in national syndication. I believe he's out of the Chicago area, as a matter of fact. Charlie Kirk. You look at him and you're like, oh, that's cute. Charlie is pretending to be on the radio. But this is, you know, the joke's on us because guy's making money hand over fist, another guy making tons and tons of money, and there are radio stations that put this kid on the air. So listen to this. Charlie Kirk calls for his audience to post bail for the guy who attacked Nancy Pelosi's husband. Here's the quote. If some amazing patriot out there in San Francisco or the Bay Area wants to really be a midterm hero, someone should go and bail this guy out, bail him out, and then go ask him some questions. So again, this guy is up on multiple charges, including attempted murder. And Nancy Pelosi's husband is, you know, had to have brain surgery. He's got a cracked skull. It was an attempt at murdering him. It was definitely a suicide mission. This guy, DePap, knew that he wasn't ever going back to his shed. As we pointed out yesterday, if you recall the movie Scent of a Woman, the garage that Al Pacino's character was living in, cut that down by two-thirds. And that's the I call it a garage. It's barely that. It's like a tool shed. That's where this kid at 44 years old was living. And so he figures, oh, the lies are coming out of Washington. I'll break Nancy Pelosi's kneecaps. Oh, this is great. It's like Ralph, Malph, and Potsy would have come up with a better plan than this kid. And like I said, you know, if you've been watching this, you got multiple charges and stuff. And Charlie Kirk, the syndicated talk show host, wants somebody to get him out of jail. Like I said, I'm never apologizing for anything again, ever. I think back at some of the things that I've said or done on the radio that really pinned the meter. Those violations of community standards, nothing compared to what these guys are doing on the radio now. I'm never apologizing again. And the Washington Times, very, very hard conservative right-wing newspaper coming out of Washington, D.C., reported that some senior Republicans have been warned by allies of Donald Trump not to continue to be aggressive in criticizing the Justice Department and the FBI over this whole issue of Mar-a-Lago, the missing documents and all that sort of stuff. And again, These are Republicans being warned by other Republicans not to get in front of the camera and you know, start attacking the United States government for pursuing this because why? Because they say that more damaging information related to the search is going to become public. So they're already attempting to mitigate the damage to the party and to certain politicians before we even find out about it. So they know that at some point Trump is going to be indicted, probably right after the election, I would imagine. Cost of everything going up. Inflation still out of control. Cost of groceries up 13% compared to last year. But the price of one thing is coming down and coming down a lot. 35% drop in the cost of avocados. Now, our neighbors right around the corner in Florida have a couple of avocado trees, and there must be hundreds of them. And our friend Brenda is always bringing big bags of avocados over. And what I do is I scoop out the avocado meat, if you will, and I scoop that out, I mash it up, and I put it in plastic bags, and I freeze it. Got one of those big, you know, Costco deep freezers out in the garage, and I freeze it. And then, you know, when we want to go nuts with homemade guacamole, yeah, but a 35% drop in mid-sized avocados. Oh, and by the way, the top 10 states for murder in the United States. You want to get murdered? You know, you go to a certain state and go, well, according to the statistics, I got a really good chance of being murdered in this state. The top 10, all red states, led by Mississippi. Missouri is fifth. I know that sounds like double talk because I just told you that in St. Louis County, all these violent crimes are down, but across the state, it's way up. Taylor Swift is not coming to St. Louis. Closest you would be to seeing her, well, Kansas City next July, and then Soldier Field in Chicago. She's doing two shows there on June 2nd and 3rd. That may not seem like a big deal to you, but when major concert tours bypass St. Louis, not a good sign as the population of the St. Louis area continues to decline. It ain't helping. Is this the Miss America pageant or the Miss Universe? So you got beauty pageant queens Fabiola Valentin from Puerto Rico and Mariana Varela from Argentina. Very, very handsome females. Beautiful women, and they must have noticed each other because Miss Puerto Rico and Miss Argentina have gotten married. I wonder if that's a first or just a first that we're hearing about. My favorite meme of the day yesterday comes from somebody who goes by the screen name of Just Linda. She says... She says, I'm done with dating sites. I'm now focusing on pizza delivery guys because at least I know they have a job, a car, and pizza. Pretty good. Pretty good. Stevie Nicks and Billy Joel are going to share a stage for the first time. They're going to co-headline a show next April at the home of the Dallas Cowboys, AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. No word yet on if they're going to add more shows. Julie Bowen from Modern Family says she's always been straight, but that she was in love with a woman for a while, but the woman didn't love her back, so she never had a chance to challenge her sexuality. All right, in addition to Game 5 of the World Series, a real snoozer tonight, Houston hosting Philadelphia. That's going to be a bloodbath. What's the spread on that game? It's got to be at least, what, 3 touchdowns? Seriously, I want to know. I'm looking this up real quick here. Texans are 1-5-1, fourth place in the AFC South. Philadelphia, of course, undefeated at 7-0. 13.5-point spread in that game. Series premiere tonight, a blockbuster on Netflix. I'm interested in this. Randall Park fights to keep the doors open of the last remaining Blockbuster video rental store in America. Melissa Fumero from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, one of his employees. Late Night Tonight, Paramore on with Jimmy Fallon. That's a good band. Rob McElhaney on with Jimmy Kimmel. Bono is on with Stephen Colbert, and Seth Meyers has Cecily Strong, formerly of Saturday Night Live, and Evan Rachel Wood, who plays Madonna, and there's actually been Oscar buzz on this Weird Al Yankovic movie that is going to debut, I think it's tomorrow. And again, just to repeat this, because we told you yesterday, in case you missed it, you go see this Weird Al Yankovic movie. Actually, it's streaming. It will be streaming tomorrow. And there's a whole subplot in this movie about the life and times of Weird Al Yankovic, where he has a fairly intense relationship with Madonna. And he was on with Jimmy Kimmel the other night. And they said, did you? And he's like, no, I met her backstage at some show once. I talked to her for 45 seconds, and that's it. That's the extent of our relationship. But in the movie, it's much more intense than that. But regardless, Evan Rachel Wood apparently is so good as Madonna. You're like, you'd think it's actually her. Kendall Jenner, 27 today. Colin Kaepernick, 35. Dolph Lundgren, Ivan Drago, I must break you, 65. Phil Sims, former Giants quarterback, 67. Adam Ant, Goody Two Shoes, 68. Kathy Kinney from the Drew Carey Show, 68. Guy who used to be funny and then he decided to be a Republican and now he's not funny anymore. Dennis Miller, 69. Kate Capshaw from right in St. Louis, formerly known as Kathy Nail, Steven Spielberg's wife, still looking good at 69 if you ask me. Roseanne, 70. Lulu, To Sir With Love, 74. Michael Dukakis, oh, that was a great candidate, huh? He lost the race for the White House to George Bush Sr. in 1988, riding around in that tank with a silly army helmet on. That didn't help. Dukakis, 89 today. And the brother of Olympia Dukakis, who was in Moonstruck and Picture Perfect with Jennifer Aniston. We lost her a couple of years ago. 1965, they brought Laika into the room. L-A-I-K-A. Some people said Laika. I believe it was pronounced Laika. Laika was a dog. And they said, Laika, we got some good news and bad news for you here. Good news is you are going to be the first dog shot into outer space. It's 1957. We're going to shoot a dog into outer space. And we drew your name. You're going. Congratulations. The dog is, wagging its tail. And they say, the bad news is, it's a one-way ticket. So Sputnik 2 is still floating around somewhere in outer space with dog bones inside. Different Strokes premiered on television in 1978. Geraldo's nose was broken with a chair when the skinheads brawled on his show on this date back in 1934. I'm sure there were very, very good people on both sides. And on this day, 26 years ago, 1996, Kobe Bryant made his NBA debut at just the age of 18 years old. A lot of people making travel plans for the holidays already, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all that sort of stuff. A flight attendant who posts travel tips on TikTok has been racking up the hits with her three things you should never be afraid to tell a flight attendant. First, if you're a medical professional like an EMT, a doctor, a nurse, let them know. If there's an emergency, they'll know who can help. The next two are similar. They want you to tell them if you're afraid to fly or if you're not feeling well. In each case, they'll keep an eye on you and give you a little extra support. Somebody figured out how to maximize vacation days next year by grouping them around holidays. This is one of the smartest things that you can do. For example, in January, take the Thursday and Friday before Martin Luther King Day off. If you get that following Monday off too, that's 5 days in a row. In April, you can take off a full week before Easter if your company is closed on Good Friday and Easter Monday. It only requires 4 vacation days. And with both weekends, that's a 10-day break. In July, take off Monday the 3rd with the weekend. That'll be a 4-day break. And then in November, take a full week after Veterans Day off. And then the 3 days before Thanksgiving, that's an 8 vacation day break. It gives you up to 17 days off in a row. 17 days. Again, you take the full week off after Veterans Day and then the next 3 days before Thanksgiving, 17-day break. And then in December, take off the 4 work days between Christmas and New Year's. You'll have 10 days off in a row. Yeah, but I don't know what to tell you if you got kids, or for some reason that you're a giant Taylor Swift fan and you want to see her in concert. That's understandable. Taylor Swift announcing that new tour, but not coming to St. Louis. Taylor Swift, a brand new tour. Great news for her fans. Terrible news for her cats. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, November 3rd, 2022 is in the can. 5 days until the beginning of the end. We are here every weekday morning right about this time at jcontheline.com. Please spread the word if you can. You can email me, jc at jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Everything is archived right here. We are in the top 10% of all podcasts in the country. We'd like to keep it that way, like I said. If you can spread the word, please do so. Have a great day. Talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.